This comes from Mike. Your opening monologue about the Pirates blowing it was spot on. Something that Shelton should have done last night, he should have brought in Bednar for the last six outs. Well, let's talk to Kevin Gorman about that right now. Kevin joins us from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Kevin covers the Pirates for us at the Trib. What do you think, Kevin? Did Shelton blow it last night?
I don't agree with the Bednar assessment. You know, he had thrown 22 pitches the night before. He's a one inning guy at this point in his, in this point for the Pirates. So, you know, I think Dari Moretta blew it for them. You know, he had one job to do, and that was come in to get three outs and get them to Bednar. And that he and Carmen Majinski couldn't do their jobs really made Shelton look bad. But I'm not trying to excuse Derek Shelton. I just think that right now their bullpen is in shambles, and the one guy they need to get to, they can't seem to get to him. And that's a big problem for the Pirates. But asking David Bednar to do a six-inning save in a game that's not, you know, you want to win these games, but it's not like there's something on the line where they have to win this game and risk injury. Because if you remember last year, he did that. I think he had didn't he have an eight-out save last season?
This year he had one, didn't he, Kev? At least it bridged an inning. Was it a four-out save maybe?
Yeah, I think it was a four, but I think last year he had like one where he got, you know, six or eight outs. And, you know, the toll that it took on him, he ended up missing 2 months with a back injury. And I don't think you want to risk that. If you're going to be a contender, if you hope that, I mean, certainly you want to end this losing streak. But I don't think you want to do it at the price of losing perhaps one of your only All-Stars. I mean, I would make an argument that Mitch Keller deserves to be in the All-Star game. But I think David Bednar is the only other guy that looks like, you know, a sure thing. And right now his numbers don't favor him because he's had very few save opportunities. But I think you have to get somebody, you know, to do their job. And those guys didn't do their job last night.
Kevin Gorman with us covers the Pittsburgh Pirates for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. All right, Kev, I'm looking at another option which was available, and that was continuing to pitch Keller. What do you think about that? I know a lot of people said, I know it was 107 pitches. Could you maybe at least get one or two more out so that it doesn't have to be a six-save situation for Bednar? How about that front?
Yeah, I considered that one, given that they let Rich Hill go to 119 pitches last week, and thought about that, and thought about how Keller, I think on his, Keller had a strikeout in the seventh, if I'm not mistaken. I think he had a backwards K against Joey Wendell that hit 97 miles an hour. And so, you know, the guy was still throwing with some velocity. He didn't look like he was tired. But at that point, you also, you know, are you going to risk, you know, putting him in a position where he gets fatigued, where he's at the risk of injury, or where all of a sudden, you know, after pitching what I thought was a very good game in a really good pitching duel, then to put him in a position where he could blow the game and you have to bring in a reliever either way. I mean, part of it is just these relievers aren't doing their job. And, you know, Carmen Majinski, it's kind of a shame that he's put in that situation because he's not a high leverage guy. You know, he was only making his third or fourth major league appearance. But, you know, Dari Moretta is a guy that had been lights out for them. And it seems like he's kind of lost something on what made him special.
Well, wasn't it something, Kevin, like 21 innings, his first 21 innings, he had given up one earned run and had a 28-6 strikeout to walk ratio. And then,
yeah,
I think
it was
the last
ridiculous.
Two times he was out there, he's given up like a total of six or seven runs in his last two appearances before last night, and then he got tagged for three more.
Yeah, and his ERA the past two games was something like 33. I mean, it was out of this world how poorly he's been pitching the last couple games. But, you know, part of it, too, is you just have to, you know, I think the Pirates have to learn how to be a winning team. And I think sometimes we talk so much about how, you know, you have to kind of become winners and everything, but you also have to learn how to handle success. And the Pirates haven't handled it very well. Every time they've been in first place, they've kind of all of a sudden fallen apart a little bit. And I think that's part of this, is when you have a team and you have a chance to put them away, you've got to do it. And I think they're learning that lesson, and they're doing it with some of the young guys, but they're also doing it with some of their veterans on the field. And so you can't just say, well, we're a young team like you could last year, because certainly they've added some veteran presence to that clubhouse and to that lineup.
Then there's the discussion about Henry Davis. Should he have stayed in right field?
Yeah, I mean, that is something that Derek Shelton, and I wonder about this, if you're prone to criticize Derek Shelton, that's something he's been doing, the late game replacement where he defensively putting Jiwon Bae in center field for his speed and moving the outfielders to, you know, the center fielders to the corner and then and shifting the infield around. I would say that if you're protecting a lead, and at that point you have a 4-1 lead and you think your bullpen should be able to do the job, it's one that's easier to criticize in hindsight than it is in the moment. In the moment, it looked like the right move to do. Henry Davis gave you a home run. Key Brian Hayes followed with another. And all of a sudden, you have a 3-run lead, and all you need is your bullpen to protect that lead. And you're going out there and giving your bullpen the best chance defensively because Henry Davis has still played, I think it's, you know, around 20, 23 games, somewhere in that range, 23 games in right field in his entire, you know, professional career. That's majors and minors. So this is a guy who's still very much a novice at that position. And I think it's one of those places with his athleticism, with his arm, you can hide him out there. But imagine if Henry Davis, they leave Henry Davis in the game, somebody hits a double down the right field line, and he misplays that ball, and all of a sudden we're saying, why'd they leave Henry Davis in, you know, given his, you know, how little experience he has at that position. So, I mean, I think these things are easy to second guess when the lead has been blown. But in the moment, I didn't even blink, although – you know, you certainly don't want to take the bat out of the lineup after a guy hits a home run.
Not only that, Kevin, though, I think part of the reason why Shelton opened himself up for criticism on that one is that his explanation for why he used the bullpen the way that he did is that we're so thin and banged up there, we were kind of boxed in the corner, this is who we had. So if as a manager you're going into that thinking, well, I might be in trouble here with the pitchers that I have to use due to injury, then it might be wise to keep the bat in there just in case you might need it a little bit later on, and eventually they did.
Yeah, I mean, here's what my counter to that would be is that when has Derek Shelton in the past 10 games been able to really count on his bats? So in that thinking, I think you're counting on your defense more than anything. And so that's where I'm kind of like, didn't really blink when he made that move because, you know, their bats have not done the job. I mean, even last night, you know, they get 4 runs. So it's like, you know, 4 runs is still, that's still a manageable game for another team, especially when they're at home. And so I don't know what he can count on at this point other than maybe Mitch Keller and David Bednar on the mound, you know, and maybe that Andrew McCutchen is going to draw a walk at the plate. Other than that, this is a team that's become very, very unreliable.
And then all of a sudden they finally get aggressive and they strike out 20 times last night.
Yeah, it's, and they were against, you know, a pitcher who wasn't throwing hard stuff, but he was, you know, really had great control and was, you know, kind of, you know, masterful in the way he was handling the 3 pitches and striking people out with different pitches. Because I was charting that, you know, he was using the cutter, the sinker, and the slider pretty effectively. And so, you know, I think it's kind of one of those things where the Pirates, I asked Andrew McCutchen this last week after the loss, I think it was on Tuesday night, you know, just said, do you guys just need one win? Is it kind of like one of those things where if you can just win one game, he's like, no, we need more than one win. He was a little defensive about it, but the point being, sometimes you just need to get out of this funk. Like, the funk is that this is a team that can't figure out a way to win, and they just need to win one game and hope that maybe things go back to normal. I think when you look at just how volatile the situation is in the NL Central is that just, a week and a half ago, the Pirates were in first place heading into Milwaukee, or heading into Chicago, last Monday in first place, and the Cincinnati Reds were in fourth. And now the Pirates are riding a 10-game losing streak and the Reds are riding an 11-game winning streak. The Reds are in first place and the Pirates are in fourth. That kind of tells you everything. And maybe that's why the Pirates have pushed the panic button a little bit in terms of bringing up some of the top prospects. I think it's also, you know, they're safe from the Super 2, you know, deadline. The date is, you know, it's kind of a moving target, but I think they feel like, okay, this is a safe time to do it. But you've seen just in the past week, you know, week or so, that the Pirates have brought up Carmen Majinski, Henry Davis, and now today they're calling up Nick Gonzalez, who was their number one pick in 2020.
I was going to get to that next, Kevin. Again, Kevin Gorman with us, covers the Pirates, the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. You used the phrase panic button. I can't let that go. That's what you think is going on here, panic button time?
Well, there's 2 ways to look at it. One is that certainly that there's been public pressure on the Pirates to call up the guys that are at the top of their, you know, farm system and say, hey, there has to be somebody that can help. There has to be somebody down there that you can bring up and help. And you saw, you know, prior to that home run, let's put it this way, between Henry Davis's double in his first at bat and his home run in his final at bat, He went 0 for 10 with one walk and two hit by pitches. I mean, this is a guy that wasn't tearing it up in the majors. Now, he needs a little bit more of a sample size to really evaluate him. But, you know, I think the Pirates are looking for help any way they can right now, and they're starting internally. And if it doesn't work internally, they're going to have to make a trade somewhere along the way. I think on the flip side, I've always felt that the guys that they have playing right now, Rodolfo Castro, Ji-Won Bae, and Tucapita Marcano, those middle infielders, are all guys that they were, you know, they were valued in their system. Felt like there was a little bit more to get out of those guys as prospects, but I never felt they were the long-term future, any of them. And I felt like they were kind of, in some ways, placeholders for guys like Nick Gonzalez, you know, Tamar Johnson eventually. Leiver Peguero would be another prospect who's in Double-A at Altoona playing shortstop. But those are the guys that were really, you know, valued in the system because those were the guys that were either drafted or acquired by Ben Cherington in deals that he thought, okay, these are our major moves. And so, to some degree, it'll be interesting to see what type of roster move the Pirates make to create some room for Nick Gonzalez, because that'll tell you a little bit about who they feel like is not performing up to their standards. And right now, none of those guys are hitting very well, you know, Marcano, Bae, or Castro. And Bae underperforms second base but has been really good in center field. You know, Castro is a guy that can play second, short, or third. And Marcano's the best shortstop out of the three. So they all have their strengths, but what we're seeing at the plate is their weaknesses being exposed.
Is Nick Gonzalez at least a better interview than Henry Davis?
Nick Gonzalez is a much better interview. Fantastic interview, and he's a guy who...
I'm kind of kidding, because I have interviewed him twice, and both times I really did like him. But then again, like I told you in the locker room, the first time I interviewed Majinski, I thought he was pretty good, and man, he didn't want any part of being talked to from a media member. And Davis, it's like pulling teeth, yeah, Kevin. It's like Troy Polamalu was a rookie, except Troy was nicer about it. Like, Troy knew that he was not a good interview and it was his fault. I think Henry Davis thinks it's our fault for talking to him.
I've had my share of interviews with Henry over the past couple of years since he was drafted. And I've found him to be much better interview in a one-on-one situation, but also in a more relaxed situation. This is a guy who's very intent on, I'm here to win. And when coming up at a Pirates in the middle of a losing streak, can't sit very well with Henry Davis, because that's just not his MO. This is a guy who's very focused. And even last night when I was asked about hitting his first career home run, he was like, you know, it was nice, but I would like to rather have won. And so you try to get a better read on these guys when you talk to them one-on-one. Henry Davis, we had a funny interview with him up in Altoona when he made his debut there last May. And we were asking him about, like, what does he do? And he was talking about, you know, well, here's the process of here's how I deal with the pressure of this, and here's how I go about learning how to be a better catcher. And he was talking about all this. And, you know, we said, well, what do you do for fun? He's like, I have fun. And he just kind of gave me this blank stare, and then he cracked a big smile. And it was kind of like, you know, like, he's like, hey, you know, I'm a 23-year-old guy. I know how to have fun. It's just that, like, you know, when it comes to baseball, he takes it very, very seriously. And when it comes to the interviews, it seems like he takes it very, very much on the defensive. So hopefully that'll something he'll loosen up a little bit. But yeah, I've seen both sides of Henry, you know, give fans a little bit better idea.
He makes, you know, like James Harrison look like Lethon Flowers or something. It's been rough watching the post game, especially the post game interviews. He was a little bit better at the podium, you know, like you said, it was a good moment. I think he felt the need to embrace it there. But those post game interviews, my gosh, it's like I'm rooting for it. It's almost cringy in how quickly and how little he wants to play ball, especially with, like, when Potash and Robbie are asking him, you know, for AT&T Sportsnet, for the flagship station, he's giving them nothing. Like, that makes me feel better, at least. He's not giving them anything either.
No, you know who I think really appreciates the Henry Davis interview is probably Brian Reynolds, because he gives nothing either. And Brian Reynolds is maybe one of the funniest guys on the team. There's a part of it that's entertaining.
Oh, yeah, Brian Reynolds is a regular cut-up compared to Davis. He's like, you know, it's like talking to Marc-Andre Fleury without the Franglais accent, you know?
Yeah, but Brian Reynolds wants to give you nothing. And, I asked him the one time after he signed his extension, the long-term deal here, and I said, how much did you enjoy that versus just suffer through it? And he's like, I suffered through every second, you know? Like, he wanted no part of, like, you know, there's certain guys, you put a camera on them, and they're just like, okay, I'm giving you nothing here because I don't want that camera in my face. And you talk to them in a different atmosphere. You know, talk to Brian Reynolds about hitting or about his teammates, and he's a fantastic interview. You talk to him about himself, he gives you very, very little. And I have a feeling Henry Davis is very much the same way.
All right, appreciate it, Kevin. Thanks so much for coming on again. I know you're on with us last week, too. Appreciate you sort of adjusting our podcast schedule to do it live here on the radio. And we'll catch up again next week for the podcast at the Trib. Okay?
Yeah, anytime, Tim. My pleasure. Thanks for having
all right. me. Yep, Kevin Gorman. He is our beat writer, covers the Pirates at Trib Live.